throws out of the shotgun. Toby Gerhardt to his right. Big, big play. Christian takes the snap, looks right, passes right, tipped up in the air. Rudolph tipped it to a Viking. Touchdown! It's Stephen Burton!
It's Vikings Live at Winter Park, presented by Sports Authority on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network. Vikings Live at Winter Park is brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, Continental Diamond, Quick Trip, and by Sports Authority, the official sporting goods retailer of the Minnesota Vikings. Now, from the Sports Authority studios at Winter Park, here's the voice of the Minnesota Vikings, Paul Allen.
Welcome to Vikings Live at Winter Parks, presented by Sports Authority, and I'm Paul Allen. We crack open each and every week with Minnesota Vikings head coach Leslie Frazier, also provided by Sports Authority, the official sporting goods retailer of the Minnesota Vikings and founding partner of Sports Authority Studios at Winter Park. You know, off the loss to Indianapolis, very difficult loss. When Kyle caught that touchdown late, I thought for sure you were going to win. You lost the game. But the good news is, Leslie, is that you don't play a very good team this weekend, so you should be able to just go ahead and skate through to 2-1, right?
Yeah, I tell you, San Francisco's playing good football. They beat a couple of teams that we're both very familiar with, and Green Bay to open the season, and then Detroit last weekend. So they're a good opponent. We're fortunate that we're playing them at home. We look forward to the game.
Is the pregame speech, if you want to be the best, beat the best? Not saying they're the best team in the NFL, but I'm also not saying that they aren't.
Yeah, you know, for us, it's just about our defending our home turf. I mean, it's important to us to win at Mall of America Field, and we look forward to playing in front of our fans.
How do you determine what your pregame speech is going to be?
A little bit of it goes back to what has transpired during the week and who the opponent is and what I think we have to get across from a message standpoint.
Do you have any players who ever step up and, kind of offer what they have to think about the game?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we'll have some of our veteran players who sometimes talk to the team about, you know, what it takes to win in certain games and certain situations. So, yeah, for sure, we do.
Who are your most vocal team leaders, the ones that have the equity? You know, I'm not going to say it can be confrontational. That's the wrong word. But can also say, hey, you know, we need it done this way. We're putting the work in. Who are some of the guys on your team who are like that?
Well, we have a couple different guys who will voluntarily speak up. Jared is one of those guys who can really bring a point across and the players will listen to. From a defensive standpoint, Kevin Williams, not a big talker, but he will share some things from time to time, and so will Antoine Winfield. Neither one of those guys are big talkers, but when they talk, people listen. From an offensive standpoint, you know, there are times where Adrian will have something to say to the team, which is good for us. There are times, you know, some of our other guys will step up as well. John Sullivan will say a few words to our group. So we have some guys that will speak up and talk to our team, and it's good to have some leaders that aren't afraid to just sometimes share with the team.
You mentioned Antoine Winfield, 14th year from Ohio State, had that tragedy with his younger brother a couple of weeks ago. Had to leave, then came back, then went to the funeral. Now he's back. How is he doing? Just I'd say fatherly Leslie Frazier to Antoine Winfield. How's he doing?
You know, on the surface, Paul, he seems like he's doing fine outwardly, but when we do sit down one-on-one, you can tell that there's pain there. When he came back from the funeral, I mean, you could sense just in my conversations with him that he was hurting a little bit emotionally, and you would expect that. But to his credit, I don't know how he's able to do it. He's fought through some of that and was able to go out and play for us and practice. He's been incredible.
What kind of space do you give him? I mean, because he's the ultimate film watcher. I mean, he finds the tells from the tackles and the fullbacks and the tight ends and the quarterbacks, especially when he's inside.
Right.
But you know what? If he has his mind elsewhere and he sits down to watch some package that he usually watches for 3 hours, I mean, it's a fine balance here, you know?
Oh, no doubt. I mean, when you lose a family member, it's hard. And, you know, what he's going through, I can't even imagine. So he's one of those guys that can get so locked in on football, but now to be dealing with what he's dealing with, I'm sure it's very difficult.
What bugged you most about the loss at Indianapolis?
Well, you hate to, as you know, lose any game in the league, especially one when you fight as hard as we did to come back on the road and put ourselves in a position to win the game, and then to lose it on the last second kick. I mean, that's a frustrating loss. And you know, but you got to bounce back in our league. There are a lot of teams that are 1-1 right now. You can't be feeling sorry for yourself because the team we're playing this weekend, they aren't going to feel sorry for us, so we got to bounce back.
No doubt. And heading into this game at 2-0, you know, you would have had people nationwide going, hey, the Vikings are 2-0. Haven't necessarily done anything great, but haven't necessarily done anything poorly either. But from 2-0, it would have been a little different than 1-1. But coming home to play San Francisco, certainly would rather play them here than out there on that deep, thick grass and the wind and the crowd and everything, right?
There is an opponent that we wouldn't want to play at home. We think we have a terrific home field advantage at Mall America Field. Our fans, I mean, they can make it tough on opposing teams. So we look forward to playing at home.
You know, when you guys beat the Jacksonville Jaguars, I asked myself on the radio show and, asked the audience and then talked to some people about it. How can Jacksonville let Devin Aromashu do? I even asked you, get free for that 26-yard hit before Blair Walsh ties it. I'm going to ask you the same thing. How can Reggie Wayne, their best player, get open for 20 yards in what eventually led to Adam Vinatieri hitting from 53?
Well, we ran a zone pressure that didn't get there, and they found a hole in the zone, and they made a great play. Good throw, good catch by their receiver.
In hindsight, is it a very risky defensive call there? Maybe should you have shifted out into something else?
In hindsight, you know, you can always second guess, but in the heat of the moment, Paul, you do what you practice and what you planned on doing in that situation, and you can always second guess when it doesn't work out.
Is Aaron Henderson going to play this week? He missed practice again today.
Not sure if he will. We're still going through some of the concussion protocols that are necessary, and we probably won't know until, right up to game time.
If he doesn't or if he's limited, who plays more?
We'd probably get Marvin Mitchell up and get him ready to go and, have Tyrone McKenzie available and maybe Audie Cole as well.
So if you go to nickel, then it would be Greenway and
– Yeah, it would be Greenway and Jasper Greenway and as Jasper. Our linebackers at that point.
Yeah. Now, with San Francisco averaging about 167 rushing yards a game, but Alex Smith also passing very efficiently, and he has 4 touchdowns and 0 interceptions, is it a pick-your-poison with their offense, or do they have a preference?
Well, they like to run the ball, although they've become much more efficient throwing the football with the addition of the receivers that they've added. I mean, they've got quite a bit of depth now at receiver that they didn't have a year ago.
Yeah.
But everything that they do is built around their running game, their play-action pass game, the shots they take down the field, and they do a heck of a job running the football, averaging almost 200 yards a game rushing. So they do a good job of running. You have to be able to defend their run game.
How do they use Randy Moss?
They're using him to throw the football down the field to him, but they'll also run some out routes, some underneath stuff because people play off of him. They still respect his speed, but they use him in a variety of ways, and he's made some plays for them.
What went so wrong for Randy when he was here?
Not altogether sure everything that went wrong and why it went wrong. I know he's doing well where he is now. You watch the tape, and you can see the energy, the enthusiasm in his play. He seems to be a happy player.
So with Alex Smith, the artist formerly known as the first overall pick bust, Jim Harbaugh comes in there, and he starts to manage the game a little bit. His touchdown-to-interception ratio is fantastic. But do you think, Leslie, that when he got into the postseason, played New Orleans, then played the New York Giants, with when he ran, he ran at good times, he found Vernon Davis, put him on big games, do you think that confidence right there, plus Jim Harbaugh, for whatever the reason, has helped Alex Smith become a legitimate quarterback?
Yeah, his play in the playoff game, I'm sure, opened a lot of eyes around the league about his play. He was characterized as a guy who was more of a game manager in their offense, handing off to Frank Gore, throw safe passes. But in those playoff games, he made a lot of plays that they would not have won those games without the way he played, especially in the New Orleans game. He did a terrific job of moving that team when they did a good job of defending their run game. So he's beyond the game management stage.
Leslie Frazier, Vikings Live at Winter Park. I'm Paul Allen. Jarius Wright, your rookie from Arkansas. When people wonder why the team doesn't stretch the field more, a lot of it comes back to, Jerome Simpson's going to be back in the Lions game. But Jarius Wright also has the ability to not only, in my opinion, to beat the guy at the line if it's press, but to get down the field and help you explode. Is that accurate?
Yeah, he has that type of ability. He's a young guy and still coming along. And, of course, he's coming off an ankle injury now. And we're practicing him this week just to see where he is, and he's getting better. But we'd love to get him back in the lineup and give him a chance to make some plays for us down the field.
Is he a slot guy like Percy, or can you put him outside?
When we drafted him, we saw him more as a slot guy that could develop into a good outside receiver. And based on some of the things we had him to do in the preseason, we think he can be a guy who can be a factor on the outside.
What did you think of Andrew Luck?
I was very impressed with his mobility and his ability to make plays on the run. He's going to be a good quarterback in our league without question.
Is Adrian Peterson okay? I mean, I'm not assuming he's not 100%, and he went for 1,784 and 2 in the first game, but he just looked a little different last week.
No, I think he's fine. In all my conversations with him and taking a look at him on tape, I mean, he feels good. He's looking forward to this ball game on Sunday, and we're looking forward to watching him play.
Can you guys keep milking Percy Harvin as much as you are for the balance of the season and expect him to stay healthy and fresh?
Well, we like to think so, but at the same time, you know, we're going to have to definitely get other people involved in our offense and take some of the pressure off of Percy to make plays for us. But it's hard not to get him the football because he does so many good things for our team and our offense. So, you know, there's a balance there, but we have to make sure we find that balance because we need him throughout the entire season.
Isn't it crazy, Leslie, how much things change in a year? Because there were times last year where the media would come up to you and say, how come Percy's off the field in the red zone? How come Percy's playing X amount of plays?
Right.
Now the question after two is, can you possibly milk him this much, you know?
How about that? You're right. How quickly
he's
things
phenomenal.
Have changed. He's a great player who he's been terrific for us in these first two ball games, and we all know how big his talent is. And he's been great.
Tell me if this is a good take or a bad take. You guys have been wonderful with yards after catch, specifically Percy Harvin. But I just for some reason don't sense this is a great yards after catch game because they wrap up so well. They're the NFL's best tackling team, in my opinion. Do you think that's accurate?
That's pretty accurate. I mean, they do a great job of tackling. I mean, their secondary, their linebackers, their entire defense, they do a terrific job, as good as anybody that we'll face this season. But for us, you know, we're still going to do the things that we've been doing, believing that we're going to have success in doing them, and that's not going to change. You know, we have an attitude about how we want to play, and we're going to continue to do the things we think are going to bring us success.
What do you think of this for the first play of the game? Two tight ends right next to the tackles, Percy left, Jenkins right, Adrian single set. Play action to Adrian, and one of the tight ends needs to be Red Ellison, because if Ellison's on the field, they'll be like, okay, 85-90% run. Play action Adrian. There goes Jenkins, single-covered guarantee they're going to double Percy all game. And then you take a shot. And if it's incomplete, you'll get a standing ovation because the crowd will say, yes, we're trying to get down the field. If it's complete, we might be in business. If it's an interception, then we'll say, hey, Jerome's back next week. How's that sound?
Well, hey, it sounds interesting, but, you know, we'll
see. Did I just tag the first play of the game?
Oh, I don't know about that, but you know, we'll see. We're going to take some shots down the field. We took some shots in the end of the game with Michael and Percy, so we'll take some shots.
Head coach Leslie Frazier, I'm Paul Allen. A couple of quickies to close here. Do you sense early in the game the team is flat?
I don't know if flat is the term. You know, we need to be able to get something going, you know, early in the game, and we're going to try to get that done in this ball game. But I think our guys are prepared to play and ready to go. It's just we need to get off to a faster start.
What's going on with John Carlson through two? One target, no receptions. Is Christian not finding him, or is John not getting open?
Well, we had some things in place for John just a week ago where we wanted to utilize him a little bit more after seeing him come off the injury going into the regular season. We weren't quite sure of his health, but now we are. And so we wanted to get some plays for him, and we did have some things called, but it just didn't work out. We're going to have some things up again this weekend. Hopefully we'll be able to get the ball to him.
Excellent. He's obviously very familiar with this defense coming from that division. Yeah. Leslie, best of luck. Great job so
far.
Thanks for the conversation.
Thank you.
Vikings head coach Leslie Frazier. Up next, wide receivers coach George Stewart. It's Vikings Live from Winter Park on the Vikings Radio. Vikings Live at Winter Park continues on the Vikings Radio Network. Welcome back. I'm Paul Allen. Happy to be joined now by George Stewart, wide receivers coach for our favorite football team. George Stewart, also a man who used to coach on the 49ers staff, joins us now. George, San Francisco, very good football town. The Northern California Bay Area, very good with sports overall, but man, do they love their Niners.
Paul, they do. They love their 49ers, and I tell you what, they have a great organization out there.
Who do you think's the most popular team up there from what you remember, the Giants, the Niners, or the Warriors?
Well, I tell you, when the Warriors have it going, they're pretty exciting to watch. They always sell out Oracle when they play. But the 49ers, obviously, is the team of the Bay Area.
What's it like working with young receivers, George?
Well, it's always a challenge. You know, anytime you have young receivers, and you still mentioned Percy as a young guy, though he's been in the league for 4 years. But to have young players, Jarius Wright, those type of players, and Devin Aroche-Madu, to have an opportunity to work with those young guys every day gives us a chance to be successful.
In a quest to get down the field, maybe have some explosiveness in the passing game, most people look at Jerome Simpson's return next week against Detroit and think that may be part of the answer, and it probably will be. But tell us about Jarius Wright. Can Jarius get down the field? First of all, can Jarius get off a jam? then get down the field outside the numbers.
Well, that was one of the things when we intrigued us about Jarius when he came out of Arkansas, Paul. As you know, he's a young man with extremely talented, great speed. You saw the last preseason game against Houston. I think he had 122 yards on catches. Had the long goal ball down the left boundary against the Texans. But he's a guy, as you mentioned, can get off the press and does have speed to give us an opportunity to win downfield.
Is that a problem right now for receivers not named Percy Harvin getting off the jam and then getting open as quickly as they can?
No, we have done a pretty good job, Paul, in terms of what we've done offensively with our receivers, in terms of our passing game, have an opportunity to throw intermediate to short passes. We've also had a chance to get downfield a little bit, but we haven't opened up that playbook as well as what Bill wants to yet.
George Stewart, wide receivers coach, Minnesota Vikings on Vikings Live at Winter Park. We have the Niners this weekend at noon Central. The Vikings Radio Network affiliates get the pregame at 11. Flagship Vikings Football Sunday begins at 10 a.m. George, you were in Atlanta when Roddy White came out of UAB, correct?
Absolutely.
Boy, that's a big, fast thing right there, isn't he?
Roddy's a great football player. He was a young man that when we drafted him, we felt like he would be a superior receiver in this league, and it's turned out that he has done that.
Does he need to be in the conversation with the very best like Megatron and Larry Fitzgerald Jr.?
I think with his numbers over the last 5 years, Paul, he has done an outstanding job. I think he has more catches than any receiver in the National Football League, as well as touchdowns. He and Matt Ryan has done a great job of rhythm up to each other to give them a chance to be successful in Atlanta.
George, outside of a guy like Roddy with size and speed, what mm-hmm. are some keys to being an upper echelon receiver in the NFL?
I think the ability to hand and eye coordination, you know, that's one thing about Percy Harvin, young man we have here. Obviously, you know, he has great hand and eye coordination, and he came out as a runner. He was a runner down at Florida, and in the backfield they used him in the slot a little bit, but to be able to see the ball and catch it with great hand and eye coordination separates those average receivers from those great ones. Jerry Rice had it, Terrell Owens had it. You know, you look at Randy Moss when he was here, he had it. Chris Carter had it. All those great up echelon receivers all have great hand and eye coordination.
What did we lose when Greg Childs was lost for the season?
It was very early to say, Paul, because it was such early in the preseason. Obviously, he's a big physical athlete that could run, but it was too early right now to say what we lost. I know when we drafted a young man, we wanted a big physical threat outside, and that's what he did at Arkansas.
Yep.
You know, he was coming off that knee injury, as we all know, but it's just unfortunate that he had that bad injury in training camp.
Back to the fellow rookie from Arkansas, Jarius Wright. Is he strictly a slot guy, or can you play him outside?
You can do both with Jarius. He was an outside guy at Arkansas, him and Greg, and you know, we could move him inside as well. And I thought on that was to have him to learn the slot and also an outside spot. But slot, because of his quickness and size, you know, would better benefit him in the National Football League than being an outside guy. It's not very many big or little outside receivers. You look at a young man that's in Steve Smith in Carolina. It's probably one that's not a six-footer, but in terms of playing outside. But Jarius done a great job for us.
Maybe DeSean Jackson, too, right?
Oh, DeSean Jackson, great with his great speed and quickness. Getting off the bump, as you mentioned earlier, Paul, is another young player that's small, that's a good outside receiver as well.
This group of wide receivers, Michael Jenkins is the veteran. Aroma Shadu has been around a little bit. Percy, mm-hmm. rookie of the year in 2009.
Right.
And then you have a lot of youth after that. What do you enjoy most about working with this individual group? Because I know the room has a different personality every year.
No question. The thing that intrigues me about this room, Paul, is the ability to see a young man like Steve Burton, a seven-round pick a couple of years ago, to grow as a professional. And obviously, you've seen what Percy has done over the course of 4 years to grow as a receiver in this league. And to draft Michael Jenkins when I was in Atlanta, to see him still 9 years in the league, still have an opportunity to play. So it's about the education of playing the game of football at this level for our receivers.
What's different about Michael now compared to when he was picked in the teens from Ohio State?
I think the biggest thing with Michael, we talked about this yesterday, Paul, crazy you say that, but here's a 6'4" guy that when he came out did not use his length as a 6'4" receiver. Now he does a great job with his hands. You saw the last 2 weeks in terms of boundary catches on the sideline, the toe tap, the great extension with the body. He uses his body extremely well as a big receiver, whereas when he's a rookie, he did not do that.
And he's a wonderful guy. He's a wonderful character guy. So, I mean, you can win with guys like Michael Jenkins. Tell me this, George, because you were there. You know, he gets drafted, what was he, like 17, I believe?
I think he was 24, 25.
Okay, so he's drafted in the first round by Atlanta from Ohio
right.
State. You know, and then he gets off to a slow start. Crowd and media gets on him.
Right.
Then they bring in Roddy White, start throwing the ball to him.
Right.
And, oh, by the way, with Michael Turner, we're a run-first offense. So it was just a very unique situation for Michael Jenkins.
It was unique in effect, Paul, that when we drafted him, we did not draft him to come in and be a big-time pass-receiving threat, although he did that at Ohio State. He was a big physical receiver on the edge because we had Michael Vick, we had Warwick Dunn, we had T.J. Duckett. We were a run football team first. We needed a physical presence outside, yep. And Michael provided that. Then you go the next year and get Roddy White, another physical presence. But Roddy was a totally different athlete than what Michael was in terms of a vertical stretch guy with physical size as well.
George, I have an idea. Can I share it with you?
Absolutely.
Okay, channel your inner offensive coordinator for a second. You with me?
I'm with you.
Okay, say our first set has offensive line tied into the left of Khalil, tied into the right of Rudolph. With me?
Yes, sir.
Now we got Percy wide left, Michael Jenkins wide right. With me?
Yes, sir.
Adrian in the backfield.
Yes, sir.
If we show that, what will San Francisco show?
I think they will come out and they will probably play us in a regular base set in terms of having two safeties deep, probably rhythm up with the corners on the outside receivers and putting those linebackers up in the line of scrimmage on those two tight ends.
So if the tight end to the left of Khalil is not Carlson, it's Red Ellison, then that even more enhances the probability you'll run, correct?
I'm not sure in terms of running. You also have a threat in terms of you talk about those two big receivers outside with Percy and with Jenkins,
yeah.
Also with Adrian. In terms of any type of vertical passes down the football field, like I said, they may have two high safeties. You can do anything and immediate with those guys, a toss to Adrian Peterson, things of those nature. So I'm not going to say it's a run first, but you look at the general formation, that's what you probably would think.
That's what I'm getting at. First play of the game. See, the Niners, they opened the season at Lambeau. Then they had a nationally televised home game last Sunday. Now they got to travel and play at 10 a.m. Pacific time. We're 1-1. We're
right.
Not Green Bay.
Right.
So they might be a little snoozy early is what I'm getting at, George. So you go play action to the beast in the backfield. You know Goldson and Whitner are going to bite. I mean, because that's what we do, and we got Ellison in the game, so we have to run, right? And then we stretch it with Michael Jenkins, because here's the deal. If you throw the ball deep and it's incomplete, you'll get a standing ovation if only for trying. If you complete it, you loosen everything up. And if it's intercepted, then we can say, well, Jerome's back next week.
Right. Well, I tell you what, Paul, maybe we should trade hats and you should come and take this job.
Well, do you like my idea or is it stupid?
Absolutely, Paul. If you can remember, maybe 5 years ago against the Oakland Raiders, first play of the game, we had a reverse pass to Sidney Rice, which just shanked down the football field for about a 76-yard completion to the one-yard line. Very similar mindset, you know, in terms of having two tight ends, having a wide receiver in the football field. And as you mentioned, coming from the West Coast, and I've done that when I was in San Francisco, that is a long plane flight to come in. I guess they come in on a Friday, but in terms of getting acclimated to the time, but that's a long plane flight. And like you said, it is a difference from a time zone situation.
Yeah.
So you never know, Paul.
What element will Jerome Simpson bring beginning next week?
The thing that Jerome provides for us in just the short time I've been around the young man, obviously he's a vertical stretch guy, as you know, but he is so athletic. And I remember him coming out of school at Coastal Carolina. We were very interested in drafting him then. His improvement as a skill athlete has improved so much since he came out of school. I think the people at Cincinnati have done a great job with him.
You think the deep game and everything underneath, just everything passing-wise will jump up a little bit when he comes back?
And that's the mindset. That's the reason Rick Spielman and his staff went out and signed Jerome Simpson. And I think that, you know, the young man has some off-the-field issues, as we know, but from a character standpoint, it's a quality young man, and he will help our football team tremendously.
And with Jerome, since I might not chat with you on the radio before he comes back, he's obviously fast. He's obviously very athletically gifted,
yes.
And he can make people miss. And his top-end speed, as you and I have talked about privately, he's just kind of crawling along, then wham, he just kind of catches safeties off guard. That's all good, but with him, it goes back to what you said in the beginning when I asked you about what makes an upper echelon receiver,
right.
The ability to see it and catch it basically every time. That's something that's still a work in progress for Jerome, correct?
And that has been in his history in terms of the fans in Cincinnati. People are Jerome Simpson. He can't catch the football. He has done an outstanding job here in terms of catching the football. And that's one thing I've been truly impressed with him when we had him prior to the suspension in terms of catching the football, making plays down the football field in practice and training camp. And, of course, that's the last time we've seen him and made the great catch again in the preseason game against San Diego.
Yep.
But hopefully he can continue to have those same skills once he comes back next week.
George, you think we can milk Percy this much all season and expect him to stay healthy and fresh?
And with talking to Percy, there's nothing that Percy Harvin can't do. And having a chance to visit with him, he likes his role. And I think there were some comments a year ago, we did not use him enough. Well, trust me, we are using Percy Harvin. And he's going to do a great job for us.
What, George, what does Percy Harvin do as well, if not better, than anybody in the league?
I think the thing that Percy has is a tremendous mindset of physical toughness. There's not many players that have the toughness that Percy has. Obviously, he has great ability. He has great strength. Pound for pound, he may be the strongest player in the National Football League. But his physical toughness, Paul, is the thing that impressed me about him.
Hey, great luck this weekend, okay? I love when you join us on the radio. Hopefully, your guys play very well, and collectively, the Vikings get a victory as a team, okay?
P.S., you're appreciated. Thank you so much.
Bye, George.
Yes, sir.
That's George Stewart, wide receivers coach for the Minnesota Vikings. Hey, protect the football at Buffalo Wild Wings. It's football the way it should be. Play the VIP scratch game, and you could win a VIP experience, Buffalo Wild Wings discounts, and more. Buffalo Wild Wings, wings, beer, sports. This is Vikings Live at Winter Park in advance of the Vikings and 49ers game this Sunday at noon, and I'm Paul Allen. More Minnesota Vikings conversation when we return to the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network. Back to Vikings Live at Winter Park on the Vikings Radio Network. I'm Paul Allen, joined by Vikings tight end Kyle Rudolph. The 49ers, the Bill of Fare this weekend at noon. When you started watching Niners film, what do you see? You see a fast team, a fast and tough team? What do you see?
The biggest thing with the 49ers defense, you know, they're one of the best in the league, if not the best. They've got a very physical front seven, a lot of experience up there, and, you know, they also have a very smart secondary who plays good coverage behind that front seven. And, you know, it's a tough talent challenge for us this weekend, but we're excited for it.
Is it a cohesive unit, I would imagine, to miss as few tackles as they did last year? I think they only missed like 58 or 60 tackles the entire year. And, you know, they have Patrick Willis and Navarro Bowman, along with Alden Smith, and up front Justin Smith. They have talent, but to be as good as they are, they have to be very cohesive.
Definitely. You know, talent in this league doesn't get it just there. And you got to have that cohesiveness that you talk about, and they do have that. They play together, just their front seven and the back end as well.
How do you get open against a defense like this? Is it the football is all about mismatches, obviously. Try to pair you up against a linebacker, a safety. What, without sharing the game plan, what are some of the keys?
That is the key. And for us, not necessarily mismatches, but just being able to find zones when they play zone coverage and recognizing the difference between zone coverage and man coverage and, you know, being able to provide a viable option for Christian in the pass game.
How do you recognize that? Is that on Ponder and Sullivan?
No, that's on us. I mean, Christian has to recognize it as well, but, you know, that's something that is expected of us as a tight end.
Now, Patrick Willis, is he really good against the run and pass? Can he be considered maybe the best overall linebacker in the NFL?
You know, Patrick Willis is very good. You know, I think we have one of the best linebackers in football here. He also wears number 52. But Patrick Willis is very good, and that's what makes him good. He plays every down. You know, he's on the field in base defense, you know, out there to stop the run. But he's also in sub-defense, and when we're spreading them all out, he's still on the field.
Navarro Bowman, the run thumper, very good tackler, right?
He is. You know, he's a very good complement to Patrick Willis in the middle, and they, you know, like we were talking about before, they play together very well.
Are you able to glean anything off that first preseason game at San Francisco? I mean, I know it was vanilla, as you guys say in the business. Justin Smith didn't even play for them. Is there even a little morsel that you're able to get out of it?
Maybe. I mean, you can look at the tape and, you know, plays that we ran, but it's very hard to see. Like you said, Justin Smith didn't even play in the game. I know we had a bunch of guys on defense who didn't play in the game. Adrian, John Carlson didn't make the trip out to San Francisco. So it's very hard, especially the first preseason game, to have carryover into the regular season.
Fellow Notre Dame alum John Carlson without a reception this year. Do you sense that he's handling it okay? He's a veteran. I mean, he has to realize that it's a process. He's new here, missed all of training camp in the preseason. He'll eventually have catches and touchdowns. But as friends, do you ever have to pull him to the side and say, hey, it's going to be okay?
You know, John's the kind of guy who always puts teams first. And, you know, he comes to practice every day, and whatever is asked of him in the game plan that week, he's going to do his best to execute it. And, you know, like you said, things will come around for John. John's going to get his catches and touchdowns, but you never hear him complain about it. He just comes to work every day, and, you know, whatever his role is, he embraces it.
Kyle Rudolph's our guest. He had a touchdown that tied the game against Indianapolis last week. We have the Niners this weekend at noon. With all these Golden Domers on the team, do you guys get together to watch Fighting Irish football?
We do. The first game they played in Ireland with an 8 a.m. kickoff.
Wow.
And we had breakfast at Sully's house and
nice.
Then watched the game. So it's
he
fun.
Paid, right?
Of course.
Well, he had to with that new thing he got last year. It has to be on him.
Definitely.
Provide the food, the money, and the house, correct?
Exactly.
And so you had that game against Navy. Then you're on the road for the Michigan State game. That was kind of a big spot for Notre Dame.
That was. You know, we were able to check it out after meetings on Saturday night, and it was a big road win for him.
What are some keys to moving the ball against San Francisco, not just for you, but for the entire offense, Kyle?
You know, they're a very good defense, and most defenses don't give up big plays. So we have to be consistent throughout drives, and, you know, we understand that. They don't give you the huge shots, and we have to be able to maintain drives unlike last week. We can't shoot ourselves in the foot.
You mean they don't give up big plays, or they just take it away? They just play cover two or whatever you play and take away parts of the field?
No, they just don't give up the big plays. You know, like I said, they're a very good defense. And, you know, you think back to all the great defenses that have been, you know, throughout this game of football, and that is very common. You know, they don't give up the big plays, and they make you earn every yard.
I think the early stages of this game, like most games, are very important, but specifically this game. The 49ers open the season at Lambeau Field. It's one of the most popular games of the year, and they win. Then they come home, and they play Detroit on Sunday Night Football, nationally televised. Now a week later, it's 10 a.m. Pacific time when the game starts. They're traveling to play a team that won three games last year. And you might be able to, if you smack them a little bit early, you might be able to catch them off guard. Do you agree?
Yeah, it's tough to say that because, you know, they're a Jim Harbaugh coach football team, and, you know, he has those guys ready to go every week, as you saw throughout the season last year, and they got off to a great start. I'm not sure exactly how many they won in a row, six or seven, I believe, but,
yeah.
You know, one of those were coming out to Detroit for an afternoon game. They had to play the Lions, and anytime you have a Coach Harbaugh coach football team, they're going to be hard-nosed, and they're going to be, you know, 60 minutes of football, so we have to match that.
What do you notice about Christian Ponder this year that's different from last year?
I think the biggest thing with Christian is just his comfort level. I think it was something that we saw throughout OTAs and minicamp, and then day one of training camp, it was like, wait, who is this guy? He just came out and was slinging it around, you know, has great command of the offense and has really accepted that leadership role.
Are you noticing with Christian as the game goes on, he becomes more confident and he just has a better grasp on it? He started 13 games in his career, but if you look at his fourth quarter numbers, his second half numbers in the Jacksonville game, he had 192 yards. As the game goes on, it seems like he figures it out a little better.
I think it could be a number of things. Like I said, in the early part of the Indy game, it was we moved the ball real well, but we didn't score touchdowns. And then, you know, in that second half, we were able to, just kind of let Christian throw the ball around, and we were able to get in the end zone two times.
Where'd you play high school football?
Elder High School in Cincinnati.
Was that a rival of Moeller?
Yes.
Big-time rival?
Yeah.
Who won and why?
I split with Moeller.
Yeah.
My junior and senior year, but my senior year, I had a 76-yard touchdown to open
Sweet.
The game, so it
would
well,
be
fun.
Nice to have one of those this weekend, right?
Definitely.
Who, what kind of pro talent did you play either with or against when you played high school football in Cincinnati?
I think right now there's about, I'd say, 10 guys
Jeez.
In the NFL. That
it's
are,
a hotbed.
We had four teams in our league with Elder, St. X, Moeller, and LaSalle.
Yeah.
And I think those four teams have about 10 or so guys
yeah.
in the NFL, four of which are from my high school.
Well, we don't locally put 10 into the NFL in a given year, but what I'm leading to is you and some of your friends went to the Eden Prairie High School football game last Friday night. Sadly, in funny fashion, but sadly you brought the quarterback Christian Ponder, so I understand it took you an hour to get out of there with the pictures and the autographs and everything. But other than that, did you enjoy yourself watching Eden Prairie play?
I did. It was fun to go down and check out the high school atmosphere. You know, no matter what level of football you're at, it's always like there's nothing better than, you know, a Friday night The concession stands make the whole stadium smell like hot dogs.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just an awesome atmosphere.
Excellent, excellent job last week. 5 for 67 against Jacksonville.
Thank you.
Best of luck this weekend, okay?
Thank you.
That's Kyle Rudolph, tight end for the Minnesota Vikings. By the way, be sure to join me and Paul Charchian tomorrow morning from 9 to noon at Buffalo Wild Wings in Plymouth for the Friday Football Feast. Check out the complete schedule at Vikings.com or on my show page, the Paul Allen Show page at KFAN.com. Mike Wabshaw, Vikings.com, puts a close on Vikings Live from Winter Park next on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network. And the final segment of Vikings Live at Winter Park, presented by Sports Authority, traditionally and weekly, features Mike Wabshaw from Vikings.com. Good evening, Wabby.
Good evening, Paul.
Vikings Niners, what do you expect?
I expect a big physical game. You know, hopefully it's a game that's close until the end. But this is a physical 49ers team that we're going to see on Sunday, and hopefully the Vikings can be as physical. We've heard coaches and players talk all week, all day today, in filming TV and filming radio, that they want to be physical and match the physicality of this Jim Harbaugh-led team, and that's what they're going to have to do on Sunday. This is a 49ers team that is buttoned up. I mean, unfortunately, we made some mistakes, and we shot ourselves in the foot last week, and we end up losing to the Colts. That is something this 49ers team does not do. They don't make mistakes that cost them games. And so if the Vikings are going to try and win this game, they're going to have to get the 49ers to make some mistakes, turn the ball over, get the crowd into it, have Alex Smith have some problems changing plays, sack Alex Smith. We're going to have to do a lot of things. And then on the flip side, we're going to have to take care of the ball and limit those mistakes, limit the penalties, limit the turnovers.
Michael, I believe last year San Francisco astoundingly only had 58 missed tackles.
Right.
You know, to only miss three tackles on average, three tackles plus during the course of a game, that's absolutely astounding.
Yep.
In fact, this year through two games, the defense, the Niners overall, have already missed 15 tackles. So it's widely considered the best tackling team in the NFL, missing on average 7.5 tackles a game this year, which is probably close to par.
Right.
What they did last year was unbelievable.
They have a few players, Paul, who I think are just terrific elite players. Two of them are going to come off the edge. One is Justin Smith, the defensive lineman. The other is Alden Smith, who they call him an outside linebacker, but he's really coming to the passer every play. He had 14 sacks last year as a rookie. And then on the second level, they have Patrick Willis. Those are the three names that you're going to probably end up calling quite a bit on Sunday. After that, though, they're very solid. They have a bunch of solid players, Navarro Bowman, Carlos Rogers. They have got a couple solid defensive tackles, Ray McDonald, Deshaun Goldston in the secondary. These guys are all good players. They play what you call downhill football, running to the ball, rallying to the ball a lot. So the Vikings are going to have to get creative offensively to try and figure a way around that. And we've seen this Vikings offense move the ball. I mean, against Indianapolis in the first quarter, our first two drives, we averaged 5 yards per play.
Yeah.
That's the same that we averaged in our last two scoring drives in the second half. The difference, penalties, that cause us to kick field goals in the first quarter and then early in the second quarter. So we gotta turn that around. Those field goals have to be touchdowns if you're going to compete with this team.
Mike Wabshaw, Vikings.com. I'm Paul Allen in deep stretch of Vikings Live from Winter Park. We had Leslie Frazier, George Stewart, and Kyle Rudolph on preceding Mike. You know, and Kyle Rudolph, he will end up being matched up against Patrick Willis at times during this game. And you and I, in doing some Vikings game plan Sundays on Care 11 related work, we get the opportunity to watch some film of not only the Vikings but the 49ers.
Yeah.
And there was a play in that Sunday night game where Brandon Pettigrew ran straight down the middle, went untouched by Patrick Willis, then he made a quick little turn to the right, caught a touchdown pass. Patrick Willis, as good as he is, made a mistake by not touching Brandon Pettigrew from the line of scrimmage. Kyle Rudolph is also an upper echelon tight end like Brandon Pettigrew. So if Patrick Willis is not, as you say, buttoned up against Kyle Rudolph, then Kyle potentially could have a good game against Patrick, even though Patrick's really good.
And, you know, that play that you described in the Lions game was not the same play, but it's similar to the play that Kyle scored on against the Colts at the end of the game, where, you know, he runs to the goal line, turns around as if he's going to do a comeback route or a button hook type of route, and he's going to post up.
Yeah.
But then he takes off
to his left.
Yep. And those are the sort of plays that Kyle uses his body, posts up, and has a physical advantage over most players. Maybe he can do that in this game. These San Francisco linebackers are good.
Yeah.
They're really good against the run. I can't really speak to how good they are against the pass. So maybe this is an opportunity for the Vikings to use some play action. They might have the 49ers, who are great at defending the run. They might be foaming at the mouth, ready to stop Adrian Peterson and Toby Gerhardt. Maybe you can trick them and do some play action, but to do that, you're going to have to protect. And this is a team where if you're not protecting the quarterback well, they're going to make you pay. So if Christian Ponder wants to try and find Rudolph or try and find Percy off a play action or off a five-step drop, our offensive line has to protect.
How badly do we need to at least try to take some shots down the field? You know, you and I talk on and off the mic a lot, and we live Vikings football.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, we are quite familiar with the fact that the Vikings do not throw the ball deep down the field. But with all due respect, we also are cognizant of the fact that it's not like we have a stable of receivers that necessarily, outside of Percy Harvin, is always winning the battle at the line. Here's what goes into it. Snap, seven-step drop. So you have to protect it.
Right.
And then the receivers need to win the battle at the line and get down there as fast as possible. So all of that is not meshing at once more than it is.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot goes into it. Jerome Simpson will help. Jarius Wright also can help, too, if he plays this weekend. But do you think that we need to at least take some shots despite the coverage to show teams that we're not afraid to do it?
You know, in this game, Paul, maybe it's worth it, mm-hmm. because you're playing a San Francisco team that is just so good defensively. That it's hard to find holes in this defense.
Correct.
And maybe the thing to do is just what you said. You take a shot deep. Now, the one thing we've seen Christian Ponder do well is behave according to the coverage that he sees. And that's what you want to see out of a young quarterback. You don't want to have a quarterback get out of body and take a shot down the field when the coverage doesn't dictate him to do so.
Correct.
That's when you make mistakes. That's when you turn the ball over. And if the Vikings turn the ball over on Sunday, it's going to be an uphill battle. So
yeah.
I think Christian has to walk the fine line of doing what his tells and what his reads tell him to do, but also not just going through the motions and just getting beat down by the San Francisco defense and then say, hey, you know, we're just doing what the coverage told us to do.
I mean,
you might be right. Maybe it's time to take a shot. And you know what? It doesn't have to be with Jenkins or Aroma Shadu or Burton. Why not take a shot downfield with Percy? It worked against the Falcons last year.
Yep.
Why not devise something creative and do it with a running back or do it with Rudy? How about John Carlson? We've seen him 36 snaps in two games for John. Maybe he can get more involved, even if it's down the field. And So to answer your question, yeah, I would like to see the Vikings do it. And maybe early in the game, because if you can do it early and you connect on it,
yeah,
it might make San Francisco start to think about it.
Mike Wabshaw, Vikings.com. I'm Paul Allen. A couple of minutes to go with the Vikings live at Winter Park. 10 a.m. for the flagship Sunday in the pregame show. The Vikings Radio Network affiliates pick it up at 11. We call it Vikings Football Sunday. Then, boom, following the pregame preach by Greg Coleman, it's the Vikings and the 49ers from shortly after noon from Mall of America Field. A fast start is imperative in this game. A, you can't trail the Niners because it's tough to catch up against that defense.
Yep.
And secondly, the crowd will be into the game early, and it's 10 a.m. San Francisco time.
Jump on them early, yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, looking like Oakland, okay? Oakland looked okay against San Diego, you know, had some bad long snapper moments. Miami looked garbage in week one.
Yeah.
Oakland goes all the way out to Miami, you know, playing at basically 9 a.m. Pacific time, and wham, just gets slammed in the mouth. Now, San Francisco is markedly better than Oakland, but it is 10 a.m. San Francisco time when this game starts, and they're coming off a Sunday night game, a home opener against the Lions,
mm-hmm.
glitzy game,
yeah.
and the game at Lambeau Field, very glitzy game. Here we are, noon game, 1-1 team.
Ho-hum.
Won three times last. Just hoping Adrian can, you know, show up with the ACL from last year. Don't have Jerome Simpson. Yeah, you know, we're just happy to be here. So who knows? Maybe we can jump them early.
Maybe. I would be shocked if a Jim Harbaugh-led team does that. You know, I mean, he's got those guys playing for him so hard right now. And I watched a video on their website, Jim Harbaugh's post-game speech. I mean, that team is amped up and ready to go. They beat two playoff teams from last year, Green Bay and Detroit.
Yep.
I don't think they're going to come in here like that, but if they are, maybe the Vikings can punch them in the mouth early and get a jump on them.
But we're not saying that it's down after down after down after down. I'm saying in the initial stages of the game, when you have the ball, now they're going to be wound up because that's how they operate. That's how Jim Harbaugh operates. But the last thing they see coming from this offense is a deep shot.
You're right.
You take a deep shot on this team, the crowd will applaud you for trying. If you complete it, you're in business. And if it's intercepted, then you just look at each other and say, hey, who called that?
You know what? Yeah. And if it starts on the flip side, if San Francisco begins with the ball, mm-hmm. Paul, for a long time, what has been something about our defense that we've never had to worry about?
Run defense.
Running the ball, right?
Correct.
This team is going to try and run the ball on the Vikings.
Yep.
I don't know if they're going to be able to do it or not, because I think we still have a good run defense. I think Jasper Brinkley can play downhill pretty well. Chad Greenway, obviously.
Harrison
leading,
Smith.
Leading the team. Yeah, Harrison Smith.
Yeah.
Coming down from the secondary. I think that we can defend the run, but what I think is going to be tested, because I think this 49ers team is coming to Minneapolis on Sunday to run the ball.
15 seconds. What's at Vikings.com to preview the game?
We have Under the Lights, a new segment that we just started. Jordan Strzok is doing it. It's with Aaron Henderson. That's a really cool segment. Check that out. All the press conferences from this week. Go to Vikings.com. You can listen to hear what Musgrave and Alan Williams are saying about the game.
Thank you. Great work.
Thanks, Paul. See ya.
He's Mike Wobshaw for Jay Nelson, Joe Nelson, Tim Cobb, Brian Harper, Tom West, Bob Hagan, and executive producer of the Vikings Radio Network, Chad Abbott. But I'm Paul Allen. That's Vikings Live from Winter Park, previewing the 49ers game this weekend at noon, all across the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network.